financial aid for individuals with disabilities can feel like this massive puzzle. Like, where do you even start, right? I mean, even the name supplemental security income sounds kind of intimidating.
It does, yes, but SSI is actually one of the most accessible programs out there for those who qualify. It's designed to provide financial support to individuals with disabilities who have limited income and resources. The emphasis is very much on basic needs: food, housing, utilities.
Right. And like, the other cool thing is how some states even have additional benefits on top of that. My cousin, he's got cerebral palsy. He found this out while diving into financial aid options. Honestly, it changed his life.
How so?
Oh, I'll tell you. He applied for SSI first, and that gave him a bit of a foundation, right? Then he discovered these grants and scholarships specifically for folks with disabilities. There was this one grant, I think it was for like assistive technology, and he used it to get this custom wheelchair. Like, top of the line. It gave him so much more independence.
That's an excellent point. Beyond just SSI, there are numerous grants and scholarships tailored specifically for special needs. These can fund everything from adaptive equipment to education and even career training. But accessing them requires some effort. Knowing where to search is key.
Totally. And okay, here's the thing. There's this perception that financial aid is always about education, but it's so much more than that. Like, my cousin wasn't heading to a university or anything, but these programs still worked for him. They're actually pretty flexible if you know what's out there.
Exactly. And I think what's often overlooked is that financial aid tools can significantly enhance an individual's quality of life. But navigating it, as you said, can be overwhelming. That's where organisations that specialise in disability resources can be very helpful.
Yeah, because let's be real, it's hard to know what's legit and what's not when you're looking online. My cousin had so many questions like, oh, can I apply for this if I already have other benefits? What about income limits?
And those questions are crucial. Most programmes, particularly government-led ones, are income sensitive. Understanding eligibility criteria up front can save applicants a lot of time. And, frankly, frustration.
So with all these options out there, like SSI, grants and scholarships, it got me thinking about planning ahead. I mean, it's not just about diving in when you need something, right? There's this whole strategy involved that honestly makes a huge difference if you start early.
Absolutely. Early planning is critical, especially because many programs, grants and scholarships have strict deadlines. Missing those can mean missing out on substantial assistance. And it's also about being aware of what's out there. You don't know what you don't know, as they say.
Totally. And okay, let me just say, deadlines. Ugh, I've never been good with them. But it sounds like they're even more important here. Like, do you prepare as a just-in-case sort of thing?
In many cases, yes. Especially for parents or guardians of children with special needs. For example, setting up a special needs trust is an excellent way to safeguard funds. It ensures that the individual remains eligible for government benefits while having extra financial support for other needs.
Wait, special needs trust, what's that exactly? Like, how does it even work?
Well, it's essentially a legal structure. Instead of assets being given directly to the individual, they're placed into a trust, managed by a trustee. This protects the person's eligibility for programs like SSI or Medicaid, which often have strict income or asset limits.
Oh, I get it. So it's kind of like putting money in a safe, but a really smart safe that knows how to follow the rules.
That's one way to look at it. Yes, and here's an example. I have a friend who worked with a financial planner. His son is autistic, and they used the planner's advice to optimize their savings. They created a special needs trust and even started an ABLE account. It's helped them strategically think about long-term expenses while staying within the rules.
That's so smart. And honestly, even just hearing about these trusts and stuff, it kind of makes the whole process seem less, I don't know, impossible?
Exactly. It's about breaking things into manageable steps and leaning on professionals who specialise in these areas. And families?
You know, listening to that example you mentioned, it really hit me. This whole financial aid thing isn't something you can totally wing. Having experts on your side, like the planner your friend worked with, seems like a game changer. It's like having someone guide you step by step so the maze doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Exactly. Financial planners and special needs attorneys can provide tailored advice, ensuring families aren't leaving potential benefits on the table. They're excellent resources for cutting through the complexities, like eligibility criteria or tax implications, that can trip people up.
Oh, totally. And not to call myself out or anything, but DIYing it? Yeah, bad idea. Like, my cousin tried that at first and it was just a mess. It's like, sure, Google can give you the surface level stuff, but it doesn't replace someone who actually knows the system inside and out.
Exactly. And it's not just about knowing the rules, but also about staying up to date. Policies change, new opportunities emerge. It's an ever-shifting landscape. That's where professionals really excel, by keeping their clients informed and prepared.
Right, right. Oh, and speaking of staying informed, I remember my cousin swearing by this, a newsletter? Yeah, it came out monthly with updates about grants and stuff. It's like his secret weapon now.
Newsletters and specialized blogs can indeed be useful tools. There are even alert services that notify families of changes in local and federal programs. But for a more proactive approach, regular consultations with an expert are invaluable. They can flag opportunities before anyone else.
Okay, but Eric, tell me this. If you had to pick one thing, just one, as the best resource for staying on top of all this, what would it be?
That's a tough one. If I had to choose, I'd say it has to be a trusted financial planner who specializes in disability advocacy. They provide customized strategies and adapt them as circumstances change. What about you?
I think I'd go with community support groups. Honestly, just hearing real stories from real people who've navigated the system, it's kind of like a crash course in what works and what doesn't.
An excellent point. Peer experiences can provide insights that even the most comprehensive guides may miss. It's that mix of professional advice and lived experience that truly empowers families.
Exactly. And I think if there's one thing we like want people to take away from this episode, it's that you're not on your own in this. There's help. And better yet, there are people who care about making it less overwhelming.
That's right. With the right guidance and tools, navigating financial aid can become less daunting and more, productive.
Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap this up. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.
Yes, thank you for listening. Take care and goodbye.